of the Geek 19, episode 3. Yeah, we're gonna start like this, everyone. We've just spent 10 minutes confused by the fact that Byron sounded like a cross between a horde of angry bees and a robot. So we're having a fun time. We've got Gemma, Byron, Tilly, and Kate here this week again, and I'm Laura. I forgot my own name for a moment. That's slightly embarrassing. This is the kind of episode it's going to be this week. So, hooray! Let's go, Gemma. What have you been up to this week? Go, things, stuff.
Sadly, not that much. I've basically just been sat watching stuff. Like I mentioned last week, I started watching Steins Gate. So I'm about a third of the way through the first season of that. That's been going nicely.
Have you been enjoying that then?
Definitely, yes.
It is so good.
Like I said last week, it is one of these anime series where the story takes a while to pick up. But now I'm into the flow of sort of they've realised what's going on. They're starting to explore the possibilities and things. It's all quite good. Also playing a heck of a lot of Borderlands, so it's been good
is
to engage
the
with.
One in like where it kind of looks like a. Okay, we've got Darth Vader in the back. Yeah. So apparently we're in a fish tank, but basically, I think I've forgotten what I was going to ask now. Carry on. Sorry.
Borderlands. You're asking about Borderlands.
Oh, is that the one that looks like a nuclear wasteland kind of thing in the background?
I think that might be Fallout as well, but yeah, it is kind of a sort of post-apocalyptic.
I played one, and I was like, I don't understand it, so I haven't played it again.
Was it a dark, gritty one, or a sort of bright and a comic book arty type
one? It was really colourful, the one I played.
Yeah, that would be Borderlands. Mm. The one where when you shoot things, just numbers appear everywhere.
I think so.
Yes. Gemma, if you haven't done it yet, you need to play the Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon Keep DLC for Borderlands. It is like a huge Dungeons and Dragons themed DLC story.
Ooh,
and
it's good.
Oh, it's my favourite part of that series.
Byron's been possessed.
Okay. we'll stop ignoring you and we'll move to you, Byron. Byron, tell us about your week.
Oh God, it sounds horrible.
Byron, are you actually possessed by a demon?
Sounds like an extra from Sleepy Hollow.
you should probably go back to normal, Byron, because we need to understand your words sometimes.
All I've been this week. I've been watching season 2 of House of Cards.
Ooh, what are you thinking so far?
Loving it.
Totally. I have
season 1. We won't talk spoilers because this is a thing I'm going to at some point tonight recommend that everyone in this podcast watches because it's seriously amazing.
It is, isn't it?
I have started watching it and I am really into it.
Yeah.
I mean, what's it about? I've never seen any of it.
It's about a politician. Is that a fair way to put it? Is it's like, yeah. It's a thing about like...
Oh, so it's basic, not about cards?
Well, no.
It's
kind of about it in the sense that it's like the Houses of Parliament and like the House of Representatives, like a political house. But it's that they're building all these big elaborate things up and then knocking everyone down to steal power from them. And it's this big power struggle, but it's really good. And it's good in the same way that like Breaking Bad was good, where...
Never saw that either.
It's really good in that sort of, you know everything's going to go really bad and every character's life is going to be ruined. You're just sort of waiting and watching and wondering how.
Like Game of Thrones, really.
Kind of like Game of Thrones, but
set in American politics. It's a massive trend at the moment for non-happy things. It seems like as a culture, we're done with happy endings.
We're just all getting depressed, and it's the response is, well, we want to see other people in our fictitious media get as depressed as we are.
Well, it makes for interesting advertising, because my lingering my only exposure to it at the moment is Kevin Spacey sat on a stone throne overlooking Waterloo Station for like about half a year. I was just commuting in and just seeing House of Cards.
I thought you meant really.
Yeah, like... I thought you meant the advert was him doing that, and for half a year. Playing.
I mean, like a billboard. Yeah.
Okay, that makes more sense.
That makes more sense. But it's amazing though. If you haven't seen it, I mean, you really owe it to yourself. I mean, the only downside is that it's a Netflix only show. So,
there are other places you can illegitimately find it, but I wouldn't recommend any of those, of course.
I was actually in a film screening for press, and I mentioned about like illegally downloading stuff. And apparently, within press journalists, it's like a massive no-no. And I was like, really? Why? But that's because they're all quite young. So like, when they grew up, they didn't have this kind of thing. Whereas like, I'm growing up as a film journalist, and it's like, well, yeah, how else would you watch stuff? Well,
here's the unwritten rule of film journalism is that all currently trying to aspire film journalists do pirate films, because it's the only way that you can watch the number of films you need to watch to be an informed film critic. However, equally, you never say it. You never admit that in public. You don't admit that at press events. You talk about it outside of them.
Didn't you just admit it on your podcast, though?
Oh, yeah, a podcast is one thing, but you don't go to a press event for a film and mention it to other press there.
I said it subtly, and obviously I don't do it.
Well, so it's bad form to go into a press event about a film and say, I saw this 2 months ago, then.
One thing that's like, I will talk about this like later, I want to bring this up, but like, there was a really interesting question I once heard on a podcast, and this is like 3 or 4 years ago, about whether it's justifiable for aspiring games press to pirate video games. And there's a really interesting set of arguments about it, and basically the arguments come down to, if you don't have the money but are trying to break into an industry, do you have the right to pirate media in order to become informed enough that you can break into it enough to get those materials legitimately?
Yeah, that is interesting.
Which is, I don't know what the correct answer to that is, but I can see the arguments on both sides. But
there used to be an argument for Autodesk for some of the animation packages like Max and Maya, which cost thousands upon thousands. And the argument was going that if you're starting out in the industry trying to learn, Autodesk would kind of have a don't ask, don't tell policy. The idea being that if you learn these packages and you go to a studio and they adopt them, they'll then buy the packages.
It's something that some creators have spoken about as well. I can't remember who it was. I wonder if it was actually Charlie Brooker. It was certainly somebody like him anyway, had said, he was asked about, it was the way Daily Wipe was being broadcast, sort of like, it's not broadcast for other countries, but I think he said on the radio something like, I don't mind if you haven't got any access to it by any other means, so i.e. you're outside of BBC iPlayer territory, as I am, I suppose.
It's the old argument that's always used for pirating like Super NES games and like earlier games, where it is, hey, you can't buy this game anymore, and even if you do, you're buying it secondhand and the developer's getting no money.
Yeah,
that's you know, possibly an argument for piracy not hurting anyone.
When it comes to stuff, when we're talking about, you know, about film journalists trying to get into things and people using animation packages and stuff, if we want that kind of thing to stop, we need to make it easier and cheaper for young people to get involved in these industries. Like, oh, you know, why didn't they just come to the screening, blah, 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 instead of pirating? It costs money. I mean, I live in London, but it costs a lot of money to get to London. Once I'm out of London, I'm not going to be able to go to a lot of film screenings, and therefore my publication will not be able to review these films, and that's damaging for me.
Now, see, on this same I've just realised something. We've only introduced, like, half of the cast, so we should keep going. So, back on track.
Really in-depth moral conversation.
Back on track, away from the moral conversations. Tilly, tell us about your week.
Well, I've been, you know, well, I'm kind of staying out of that one because I have kind of been illegally watching Orange is the New Black, so I'm not going to get involved in the moral discussion of that. Otherwise, I've been rewatching Harry Potter with my housemate. And I played Little Inferno, but otherwise that's pretty much it.
I was going to say, to be fair, if my Netflix was working on your laptop, you'd probably be watching it legitimately through Netflix. But
if your Netflix was working at all, I'd be watching it.
It's working on mine again now. It's just not working on your laptop, apparently.
It's doing weird Netflix things. Recently introduced this kind of thing where they're trying to charge for more than one account watching at a time.
Yeah, but they now let you set up multiple accounts within your account with multiple names on them, and they don't charge for that. So, it's weird.
They want to start charging for it, so they're probably turning that off.
Well,
there's studies that when they introduce Netflix to an area, pirated, like, illegal downloads, like, completely plummet because they're all on Netflix.
Well, it's the thing, if you know one person that uses Netflix, their password and login details are probably with two or three people, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, at least they're getting someone's money. Which is better than no one getting anyone's money, because pirates.
It sounds a bit anyway, like actually early days of BBC TV license. So when few people had TVs, it's not like they were charging multiple people for licenses. You just go around to your friends' houses.
Yeah. Anyway, Kate, what have you been up to this week? We're moving through these really badly this week. We're getting really sidetracked.
Kate, yeah, sorry, there's more than one.
Well, I have no idea what I have to do this week. I got really drunk after the podcast. Oh, is that my echo?
Yeah, you're echoing again. Are you wearing headphones?
Yeah. But, like, well, I'm attached to the headphones and the microphone is attached to my headphones.
Okay, it's fine. I'll work something out in post.
But now you're echoing.
Yeah, no, you're echoing. Just you. That's not me, trust me.
No one's echoing to me. Everything's fine.
Maybe, Tilly's not echoing to me.
Maybe Tilly's the echo.
I'm not saying anything.
It's fine. Let's just ignore the echoing and keep going, everyone.
I think it stopped. Yeah.
Kate, what have you been doing?
Well, after the podcast on Sunday, I got totally drunk and then had to go around London with my mum the next day, not really feeling up to it. So that was horrible. But we had a nice time and did some tourist things. I've just been writing a lot, to be honest, doing a lot of, like, the Geek Agenda launched a week ago. Like, it feels like it launched 1,000,000,000 years ago. It's ridiculous. Like, was it a week? Are you sure?
It was literally a week.
I don't think it was.
I felt this way about Indie Haven when it launched. Like, the first month felt like years had gone by. I was just like, oh my God, so many things, and what's happening, and it's consuming my life.
I'm pretty sure I've aged considerably.
Oh yes, running a website will do that to you. The stress will age you by a lot of years.
Yay.
Hooray.
I started reading the Matt Fraction Hawkeye comics, which are some of the best comics I think I've ever read. I've read like 3 comics, so that's not really the most amazing accolade, but I really enjoyed it. And I've also just downloaded a load of Kindle books, really, and been working my way through them. And I've got hiccups, sorry. But not really much, to be honest.
What have I been doing this week? I've been making my video game again, which is now at a point where I've sent it to like 2 people. Tilly's played through it now.
Yes, yay! I have. I've played it. It's very exciting.
There is a play.
I also might be voicing the cat.
Yeah, she might be voicing a cat.
Is it any good, to be honest? If it's rubbish, you can tell us.
I really can't tell you.
Tell Laura.
Yeah, it's not like she's listening or anything, and it's really good. I actually really enjoyed it. I'm not much of a gamer, but I'm really interested in the story of this one. Like, I think the way that it's worked out, I don't know how much I can say. Lozzie?
You can say whatever you want about it.
Okay, except I can't say that. Which it's not anyway, I love you. it's really good. Like, I can't think of words. I've just had a 4-hour sleep, so I'm not really.
That's okay. Make up some sentences that kind of get you in the right place.
I'm trying to, the way, like, because you can't kill people, which I think is really cool. You have to, like, incapacitate them somehow. And I think that's really different to any other game that I've ever played. I think it's really interesting, like, the moral choices that it's set up to present you with later on. I don't know what your plans are, but I think forward to it.
Yeah, I have some thoughts to basically take it down some Batman-esque routes of, hey, where is the moral line of when it is right to, like, if you have a solid moral line of I don't kill people, at what point does that get pushed too far and it's like, well, maybe that is the right thing to do, sort of thing. And yeah, I have thoughts and things, and it's playable by people, so yay.
And there'll be dragons, right?
Yes, I have gone through, and there is now going to be a dragon in there. I've worked out where I can put a dragon. As we said last week, Kate, you are welcome to voice the dragon. I will add some layered effects over it to, you know, give it some ferocity, but... Okay, I will listen to your voice before I decide to put to layer effects on it, but...
Dragon in the cave.
Dragon!
But I have to script that bit out still, but there is a place where there will be at least one dragon in the game, and Kate, you get to voice a dragon. But yeah, my week has been like my week has been messing around with voices, and like that's been super difficult because like the thing I didn't realize about casting for voices is that every time you hear someone's take, you then, even if you like it, you then have to be like, okay, how does that fit with every other voice they're going to interact with? And like family members, like how are their voices going to sound similar enough? And like, there's lots of different things about voice acting that are really hard to do. Like, I'm trying to voice a child, like get someone to voice a child at the moment. And I've got people on Twitter who are getting their children to record lines for this like 4-year-old character. And that's an interesting experience. It's like, your 4-year-old is not a good enough actress. I don't want their lines. Go away. And that's been fun. I wrote my first thing for the Geek Agenda. That went up.
Yes, it was very good, actually. Well done.
Yes, it was not what I was... It wasn't the thing I was planning to put up, but basically Nintendo now have a YouTube channel that is called the Nintendo Girls Club. And it is specifically like, hey, Nintendo games and Nintendo consoles and videos about them, but only ones that have women in the adverts that are marketed at how cute the games are. And I tried to write a balanced thing about like, hey, this could be a really positive thing, but at the moment it's the way it's implemented is not great. So yeah, that was my week, I think. Did I do anything else?
No. You did, and your listeners really want to know about it.
What did I do?
The most important topic of the night. You forgot already.
RoboCop.
Yes, RoboCop. Sorry, I have now seen the new RoboCop. Sorry. How did I not have that on my list? Okay, should we start with this, Byron? Should we talk about RoboCop?
Go ahead, bring it on.
Okay. let me finish before you stop me on this one, Byron. I still think the original RoboCop is better. But I will preface that by saying I think that the original RoboCop is a better RoboCop, does what the original RoboCop did better. Like, that sounds a really redundant thing to say because it is itself, but I like the new RoboCop as a standalone film on its own merits. However, personally, the cheesy stuff that you did not like in the original RoboCop is still what I like about that franchise. And I feel that it lost something in the sort of shift to being a bit more serious. It lost some of the lighthearted stuff that I really enjoyed about it. That's not to say that the new RoboCop is not a good film. I still think it's a really good film. It is just not as much to my personal tastes.
That's a good answer. I quite like that answer.
Is that an answer that doesn't get me killed? are we avoiding a geek fight?
I'm quite looking forward to debate about the fun topics about it. You know, like the Samuel Jackson's role, I thought was quite good.
Yeah, I thought that everyone in it was really good. And, like, as a more serious imagining of that story, it totally achieves that, and it does that really, really well. Like, better than I was expecting. I thought it was going to be a really, really... Like, I was imagining something like the G.I. Joe film that came out a few years ago, where it's just really stupid action.
Yeah, I did and as well too.
This was more clever than I was giving it credit for before seeing it. But I miss the sort of silly humour. I miss the silliness.
Damn, this is a bit anticlimactic. I was expecting some kind of controversial stuff so we can go through and have a really good debate about it. But now we're going to have to agree and say, yeah, it was a good film.
Well, I say it's a good film, but it's not as good as the original. So, yeah.
That's fair enough. I'm okay with that. I mean, I watched the original again last night with Susan, and we were both going, God, is this real? But, you know.
Well, it's cheesy, but it's brilliant. It embraces its cheese.
Especially the bit where the guy falls into the vat of toxic liquid and basically just gets liquidized in the guy's car.
Yeah, why do they have open barrels of liquid that can just liquefy you? That doesn't seem like a safe thing to just keep in open-topped containers.
At least in Roger Rabbit, they had it in the back of a van. It was sealed.
Pardon?
Who framed Roger Rabbit? They have the...
Oh,
I don't want to see a rabbit in RoboCop. Where's a rabbit come from?
can we just talk about the most distressing scene in Who Killed Roger Rabbit, which is when they're dipping the cartoon, I think it's like a shoe?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the shoe.
Yeah, where they dip the shoe into the stuff that destroys Toons. That's really...
Was that the freakiest bit for you?
Yes, that's the bit that really upset me, because the look of terror on that shoe's face...
The bit that really freaked me out was the bit at the end where it turns out like the villain's been a Toon the whole time, and he's got that really crazy high-pitched voice, and he's like, "It's me, the Toon that killed your brother," and I cried a lot.
That's creepy, but it's not like it's like, "Hey, here's now a clip of me dipping them into the stuff," because that would have made me more upset, because that stuff creeped me out.
Okay, how old were you when you saw this? I have to know that.
I don't know.
I think I was about 3.
Yeah, I think I saw it about 5, and then many times since then.
Yeah, I think I must have first seen it at about 5 or 6 years old, and then I've seen it several times since, but something about when I first saw it, just the shoe, that scene with the shoe really upset me.
Yeah, I can understand. I mean, I was probably a lot older when I saw it, so.
You're a lot older for most things, Byron.
Thank you.
Is this just where we call you old for a while? Oh my word. I just want to point out, Kate muted her mic in order to test out whether the muting worked okay, so she was just sat meowing to herself.
There's a reason I put that on the message rather than told you.
No, because I want to bring up what Tilly said in response, which is that we should have a meow off. So
meow, meow, meow.
My sister's kitten is a quiet, well, she's not actually that young, but she's really small and kind of weird, and she doesn't meow, she just goes like this.
Oh.
And then if you do it back at her, she stares at you.
Now see, I've discovered that recently, that one of my cats, Smudge, if you meow at her, she will meow back, and if you meow in the right way, you can have a good long-standing meowing conversation.
Do any cats play fetch at all?
I'm pretty sure my cat would play fetch if we tried.
Because a friend of mine, we were around his house, and he said, "Watch this." And he started playing fetch. He rolled up a ball of paper, threw it at the cat. Cat ran off and got it, and brought it back again. Dropped it in front of him to play fetch all night.
That's pretty cute. My dog won't play fetch. She hates it.
My cat is pretty much a dog anyway, so I'm pretty sure she would play fetch. Actually, I just want to talk about how weird my cat is. My cat won't eat unless there's someone in the room watching. Now, Tilly, you've seen this.
Yeah, it's very exciting because we've been going out for, what, like 3 years, and she's finally decided to come get me from time to time when she wants to eat. So that's really exciting for me.
To clarify, Tilly is dating me. She is not dating the cat. I am not getting Tilly to watch while I eat. Those are two separate things.
If you date someone who has cats, you're basically dating their cats too.
I was going to say, I there is a part of me that kind of, you know, I want to go around to see the cats because I've not seen them in a while.
Yeah.
It's like, what about Laura? Cats.
My boyfriend's cat is like really weird.
You've seen much watch, don't you, yeah?
Sorry?
You do know why the cat wants you to watch, yeah?
Why?
No.
It wants witnesses, evidence of the kind of food you put in front of it.
No, she's really sad. She'll meow as if she's not got food, and then you go follow her in, and she's got food, and she'll start eating. Then every so often, she'll just glance up and be like, "You're still here, aren't you? Right?
Let's be honest.
I'm still eating this, and this is what you make me eat. Give me some good stuff. Where's the tuna? Where's the salmon?"
If you leave the room, she comes and gets you and tries to bring you back. It's so sad.
Really, really stupid.
I just feel so bad. I'm like, I don't know when this first came up, but my cat won't eat without someone watching. I'm just like, oh.
Ellie stopped running away from me, so that's quite exciting.
Exactly.
Your cats both like me.
It only took 3 years for my cats to grow to like you.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Because the closest I get to a pet is a plush weighted companion cube.
I have one of those currently in my room. I'm looking at it right now.
What?
Weighted companion cube.
It's from a game called Portal. And
Sense.
Yeah, basically in Portal, you've got this robot trying to kill you the whole time, and then at one point you get given a cube that has hearts on it, and it's basically the only friend you have in the game.
So it's Wilson, essentially.
It is Wilson, yes. It is Wilson, but with hearts.
Yeah.
And I have a plush one in my room because they're wonderful.
Mine goes with me to game jams, particularly because it's actually stood in as a pillow one time.
Yours came to Develop last year. Was it Develop?
I take it around to games conferences, yes.
Yes. Because you had yours before me. I saw it at Develop, I think. But anyway, yeah. I'm trying to find in the topic list what you had a thing you wanted to bring up, Gemma, this week, and I can't remember what it is.
Oh, yes, it's a complete diversion. Okay.
Fine. Diversions are fine. Let's go on a tangent.
Yeah. Have any of you heard of or seen This Is Gen Z?
I have not.
I'm guessing not. No, it's a surreal comedy that piloted on BBC Three, but then it got picked up by Sky Atlantic. It's now season two is coming out tomorrow on DVD. Basically, it's written by and largely performed by two guys who were from Guernsey, and it's based on kind of like a Channel Islands kind of... it's been compared to League of Gentlemen, but less sort of malicious, I think. And yeah, it's a surreal comedy series, lots of music, and it's really hard to describe, basically. But I would encourage people to watch it.
What's it called again?
This Is Jinsy. It's spelled Jinsy.
You got my question there. I was going to be like, I did try and look it up after you mentioned, I think you briefly mentioned it last week. I tried to look for it and was like, I don't understand how I'm supposed to spell this word.
it's a tricky one, I guess. Yeah, it's... one of the main things about it is the guest stars it gets. It's had people like David Tennant, Rob Brydon doing a brilliant musical number, Simon Callow, Derek Jacobi, all these sorts of people. Ooh. Basically, they play residents of the island, and all just these really quite strange things go on. You kind of have to watch a few episodes in order to get into the world, at which point all will make sense. But basically, from the pilot, it just bombards you with oddness, like the weather reports have to be seen to be believed, that sort of thing. So I can't really do it justice, but I just wanted to rave about it a bit.
Oh, you've given me a good segue there for something that I don't think we've brought up on this podcast yet before, on the topic of weather reports. Welcome to Night Vale.
Welcome to Night Vale.
Yeah, do any of you listen to Welcome to Night Vale?
No, but I've heard it recommended a lot.
It's really good. You mentioned... what was it you said it was like a surreal comedy that you were watching this week, was it?
Yeah, well, I've been watching it, like, for quite a while now, yeah.
Yeah, like, Night Vale is like this surreal kind of... You're not muted, Kate.
That wasn't Kate, that was the cat.
Wow.
Okay, yeah.
It's like a surreal kind of comedy horror type thing, but it's mostly just a surreal comedy. There's not a lot of horror. Like
it's really weird. It's set in this like American desert, and it's basically just like this one town where really weird stuff happens, and no one in the town questions it until this one scientist moves into the town, and suddenly they're like, oh, is this not normal? And it's all done as like... Oh, yeah, Carlos and his perfect hair and perfect teeth and perfect
face. Yeah, and it's great because, like, it's got a gay couple as the, like, the main characters. And it the scientist, Carlos, is Hispanic. So it's not just this kind of, you know, white het, you know.
It's an interracial gay couple that are, or assumed to be interracial. Cecil could be Hispanic because he's never specified, but I assume that they're an interracial couple. But
yeah, I mean, everyone assumes that Cecil's white, but I don't.
Which is a different problem all by itself. So, it's a problem that one. But
I don't listen to it, but I've seen a lot of people on Tumblr say that Benedict Cumberbatch should play Carlos.
No,
Carlos.
And
Carlos,
it's like, everyone's like, no, don't be stupid.
There is an episode. There's like a single episode that was recorded live that you can like pay. Or it's a pay what you want episode, and you can like listen to it separately, and they voice Carlos, and he's such a perfect voice. I wouldn't want Benedict Cumberbatch to voice him.
Well, there was this huge drama about it a while ago because Carlos used to be voiced by a straight white man, and they changed his voice so he's actually voiced by a gay Hispanic man.
Yes, which is so good.
Yeah, because they wanted there to be more diversity in the cast, and they didn't feel right that, you know, his voice, you know, the character is voiced by a straight white man. And that's where the Benedict Cumberbatch thing comes in, is those people have been like, well, you know, what's the point? Just have Benedict Cumberbatch voice him. And it's like, no, you're completely missing the point of what they're trying to do.
Also, that man, like, how many things has he been in the last 2 years? He needs to stop having jobs for 5 minutes. Take a break. Go on holiday.
The more I see of his face, the more I'm just, really?
But
he was a slave. That really annoyed me.
Yes, it is.
Didn't like him at that.
What I will say about Welcome to Night Vale, just on like the gay stuff, is that it's so understated with how it does it. Like, it's really just subtle and natural, and the way they build up to it is just like, oh, it's never made into a big deal. It's just like they lead up to it initially in like the first run of the series with just like the radio presenter will quite often talk about how perfect he thinks that Carlos is, and it seemed like it was going in a queer baiting direction. That it seemed like they were making it a one-sided romance that was never going to go anywhere, and it's just like, oh, I love him so much, and nothing would happen. And then they just kind of did it at one point, and they ask, one of them asked the other out on a date, and it was really sweet, and it's lovely, and they're just like the greatest couple. But
well, it's quite realistic as well. Like, there was that one conversation he had with Carlos when Carlos was all, you know, I really need your help, and Cecil was like, neat, and, you know, it was just, I love it. His voice is just so, like,
I could listen to that radio presenter forever.
I just fall asleep every time I try and listen to it. I have to be up and doing things, otherwise I just fall asleep listening to him.
To sell it on, like, other than the diversity stuff, it's very sort of, it feels like a bit of a Stephen King novel type thing mixed with some Edgar Allan Poe. It's like very, there's a lot of very surreal, like dark forces and all these like weird, it takes a lot of things from different mythos and just kind of makes them very everyday so that you stop questioning their existence. So it's like, there's one lady in the town that has angels following her all the time, except you're not supposed to acknowledge the existence of angels. And that's
only tell lies and don't exist.
Exactly. Except they frequently talk about the fact that mountains don't exist, except for that there's currently a character that's, keeps calling into the radio station and talking about the fact she's climbing a mountain which she knows doesn't exist. And it's all very strange, but it's like my favourite thing.
I would suggest that it's a different beast to This Is Jinsey, given that the weather reports there are delivered by a man called Tracy Henge, the weather monk. He dresses in a rather short tunic and has this, again, I mean, you have to just see a clip of it to see it done in justice. But yeah, basically it's weather reports with their own kind of language and just, yeah.
What I like about this in the weather in Welcome to Night Vale, is that every episode they have, like, he says, and now we go to the weather, and then it doesn't ever go to the weather, it goes to a song, and it's always really, really good music. Like, some of my favourite music of the last 12 months I have found through Welcome to Night Vale. Like, there's a song called Chuck and Annie, I think it's called, which is this, like, really nice Bob Dylan-esque, like, storytelling song. And it's so
I like
sweet.
Wait for the Bus in the Rain. That's my favorite.
Oh, yes. Every time it rains, I hear that song in my head now. Waiting for the Bus in the Rain. Yeah, Waiting for the Bus in the Rain.
I get a similar thing with Rob Brydon's song about dressing as a female badger.
I've never heard that. Can you sing it a little bit of it for us?
No.
I just remembered, wasn't this going to be the episode that Kate was going to sing everything?
Kate was going to karaoke for us.
Yeah, you were going to karaoke for us this episode.
Oh, this sounds cool. Go for it.
I can sing the Game of Thrones theme tune in a cat voice.
I would like to hear that.
Are we ready?
Yep.
Meow. Thank you.
Well done. highlight of forever.
That was great.
I don't even know what to say to that now.
Well, you know, oh, I'm a woman of so many talents.
This is a good segue onto, we have a listener question. We have at least one listener that likes us. Wow. Apparently they
not anymore the after that.
Apparently they love the show, according to Twitter. But this is Stephen, who is...
Again, is it?
This is someone called Stephen at King Bag Carrier on Twitter. They want to know things that we would like to see on the next season of Game of Thrones.
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to say. I mean, I haven't read ahead of season 3. I've started reading the books. I'm only on
This is why I don't want to answer this question, because I know what happens next series, but I will leave it to the people who are not caught up on the books.
I want fewer people to die and more dragons.
I know. I want the... Is it Joffrey?
I'll say,
judging by the trailer, for like the little trailer they did for season 3, I can tell you that there will be more dragons, because that trailer was just like a trailer of dragons.
Yeah.
A Game of Thrones, a trailer of dragons.
I want Ned Stark to come back to life too.
Yes.
Everyone who's died needs to come back.
No, Ned Joffrey Stark, I mean...
properly humiliated.
Ned Stark should not come back to life. He is so boring.
I'm going to tell you a big surprising spoiler that none of you could have guessed.
I guessed it because I already know this spoiler.
More people die. Lots more people die.
Okay.
Wow.
I panicked there.
Did you think I was actually
Game of Thrones is the one thing where, I would just hang up.
Big spoiler, lots more people die.
No, has everybody seen all 3 seasons?
Yes.
I don't know. I've read the books. I've read all the books that are out, so I don't know season 3 stop.
I think it's halfway through book 3, I'd heard.
Yeah. The last I heard
was the Red Wedding. I know that's happened, but I don't know what else.
The thing about Ned Stark's death is it literally represents the fact that being honourable in this world gets you nowhere.
Yeah.
Well, and it's the same with Bob Stark.
It gets you killed.
Yeah, exactly. So I would hate it if they, like, I mean, obviously, you know, they couldn't, but if there was any way that they brought him back or whatever. Like, the thing about the Starks, they're interesting, but then if you look at, like, Arya and Sansa, they don't have that same, they're not so stupid to think that honour will keep them safe. Like, maybe Sansa is... I have a lot of feelings about Sansa Stark in general and how much I love her. But in general, I think that at the first, she's like, oh, yeah, everybody's honourable. Knights are so lovely. But then she's like, hang on, that's a really stupid thing to think. Like, I need to survive. I need to look after myself. And, like, I'm kind of glad Ned died. Because, A, he was boring as hell. Like, I would behead him if I had the choice. Just for being so dull, I'd be like, ugh. But also because it represents a massive thing that everybody who lies seems to stay alive.
Mm. Well, you talk of honour. I mean, I would say Tyrion is still honourable, which means I utterly fear for him. He has an honour of a sort.
Has anyone seen that picture of George R. R. Martin and he's got a sign saying, be nice to me or Tyrion's next?
Yes.
Oh, God. Yeah. He had that at a convention and that's my favourite thing.
He looks like sailor.
He does look like a sailor, but in the best kind of way.
Yeah, like, it's like he's gonna go and be like, oi, or get myself salt. I don't know why I'm from like the West Country, but
you sound like a West Country farmer.
Well, that's kind of what I am. That is my roots. I'm gonna be sat in Salisbury right now.
Oh my word. What have we got in topics this week? Tilly, you played more Animal Crossing. How are things going in Animal Crossing?
You know, when I mentioned that, I was joking.
What? You don't want this to be a recurring topic of what did Tilly do in Animal Crossing this week?
Did a banana tell you to go to sleep or whatever it was?
No, that was a penguin. But
did you say a banana?
Oh, yeah, because penguin is so much more normal. Don't you judge me, bro.
Well, TNT Mart is expanding. That's exciting. It's going to be a bigger shop. And I've only got like 3 more species of fish to catch, and then I've caught all of them.
That is impressive. I mean, I've only played the GameCube and DS versions. DS version I had to sell literally because I got so addicted to it. But catching fish on that was really hard. So,
kudos. Well, in this one you can like dive for fish, and it's the diving ones that I've caught nearly all of them. Fishing I've caught a lot, but I've still got like loads more to catch before I've caught them all.
You found most of the ocean floor dwellers.
Yeah. And I've got like four more fossils to find, and then I found all the fossils, and I need to stop playing it because now I feel really sad.
You're going to have nothing left to do, and that's going to be really sad.
Yeah, it's going to be like, oh no.
Orange is the new black. Do you want to talk about Orange is the New Black?
I do. I've been waiting for you to bring it up, and you haven't. And
That's fine. Bring it up. Tell us about Orange is the New Black.
Am I right in thinking, Kate, you've seen it, have you?
Yeah, I love it.
What did you think?
I thought it was amazing. Like, the first couple of episodes, I was like, I could have taken it or leaving it. Taking it or leaving it. It was bread. But then I was on a train up to Glasgow, and I didn't have anything to do for, like, 4 hours. So I just kind of, like, whooshed through it all, and I really enjoyed it. I really like how what is her name? She's not a Halliwell sister.
What, the main character?
Yeah.
Piper.
Yeah, Piper. She's like, at first she's kind of the main character, but then I liked how it was, she's definitely like a conduit for us to actually be told all of these stories of other women that are like no more, you know, not necessarily more interesting, but they definitely deserve to be heard in a world where we kind of just hear about white people and cisgender, able-bodied people, and we have like a lot more diversity. Wow, I rambled. Sorry, carry on.
Quick summary for anyone that hasn't seen it. I know this much from trailers and things. It's about a lot of women in prison. So that's your primer for those of you who don't know about it. Tilly, what did you think?
I really enjoyed it. I think, like Kate said, the first few episodes, I was a bit kind of like, there were a few problematic things that I picked up on. Like in the first episode, because Piper is bisexual, and I'm not bisexual, so I can't like speak for bisexual people. I'll leave that for you, Kate. But
I have that role.
Yeah, you can tell me if I'm right. But they say a lot like, oh, so you used to be a lesbian, you know, so you were a lesbian, and it's like, no, it doesn't work like that. She didn't used to be a lesbian. She's always been bisexual.
I think it's interesting though, because that's the people who tell her that are lesbians, and you know, a lot of bisexual women will get told by either, mainly because obviously, you know, some men will fetishize it and be like, oh yeah, that's so sexy, but then you get the idea of like, oh, you're not really one of us.
Yeah, you know?
So I think it's actually kind of realistic, like the way she gets treated is like by her former partner and stuff.
Yeah,
like, oh, I mean, you betrayed me, and she's like, no, I just, you know, I'm not a lesbian or heterosexual. And I think it was portrayed pretty well, because it was
it's brought up again in like another episode where someone says, you used to be a lesbian, and she's like, what, no, that's not how it works.
Yeah,
so I quite like that. And then the episode with Laverne Cox's character, what's her name,
Sophia.
Yeah.
Was this the one you were telling me about, the trans episode?
Yeah. Oh, I cried so much. I mean, again, I can't speak for trans people because I'm not trans, but just from my experience with trans people that I know, that just looked so real, you know, and
it was
so
very
like,
sweet. It's a good episode.
It was made, like, she's a very sympathetic character, which I think is, it's really strange because I've never really seen media that goes into that depth with a trans woman and doesn't turn her out to be a jerk like that. Has anyone else seen that episode of the IT Crowd?
Oh no, god, yes. Oh god, show. Oh god, that's the worst thing of anything.
Yeah. I thought I'd seen them all, but this is
Can I basically summarize this episode of the IT Crowd for anyone that hasn't seen it, because it annoys me so much. Basically they set it up so that what's the boss's name?
Renham.
Renham goes out with a woman, and on the first date she says that she's trans, or what she actually says is that she used to be a man. I used to be a man. And basically it goes through the whole episode with him being like, oh, that's not a problem, that doesn't bother me at all, and it seems like it's being really progressive. And then they turn around at the end and they're like, oh, I misheard you. I thought you said you came from Iran. And then it's him being really, really disgusted that he went out with someone who's trans.
And the whole thing, and then they get really violent at the end as well. And it's too painful to watch. Like, it's just appalling.
Is the person who played that character, were they a transgender?
No, they weren't. They weren't trans. It's a non-trans person playing someone saying they used to be a man. And then the whole punchline is, oh, I had no problem with you being from Iran. I have a big problem with you being trans.
That's horrible.
And it's really awful.
Oh, it's horrible.
Like, Orange is the New Black, like, she's made out to be a real kind of sympathetic character, you know?
Which she's really, there's her, because each of them have, like, their episode, which is, like, their story, and obviously her, that's all covered in her episode. But then, like, all of them, but I think especially her character, like, she gets to grow and have other issues totally unrelated to her being transgender.
Yeah. So
it's rare.
And also, in the episode where they showed her pre-transition, her twin brother played the character.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they were casting because they were like, oh, we're going to, you know, have some bits before your transition. And she was like, yeah, okay, let's look at some actors to play it. And she said, well, I do have a twin brother. And they were like, oh, that's pretty useful. Yeah.
But it's so it portrays, like, the amount of pain that she goes through, you know, and, like, how her relationships with her family and stuff change. And it's just, it's really, like, the best I've seen. To be honest, like, it's just amazing.
Orange is the New Black was based on a true story as well.
Yeah, it is. It's based on a book called Orange is the New Black, My Year in a Woman's Prison or something. I can't remember who it's by. I'm going to buy it when my student loan comes through.
It sounds like one of those things that certainly, it sounds good, so I will sit down to do it, but it will be like all the feels and I'll need a box of tissues or something.
It's very
I have.
So good.
I thought it was quite good, there's quite a bit of transphobic language like later on, you know. But she doesn't tend to be affected by it, and other characters kind of stand up for her, if that makes sense.
Yeah, there's some, like, uncomfortable parts, but
like, some people are quite transphobic. Like, there's this one prisoner who's, you know, really transphobic towards her, but the guards, like, stick up for her, and the guards are like, if you say that again, I'm going to put you in solitary and stuff like that.
I think even if they don't stick up for her, like, the show does kind of make it out, like, you feel uncomfortable. You don't think, oh, that person's still a nice character regardless. The
you feel uncomfortable to that character. It's like, well, I don't like them so much anymore. I don't think I'm, you know.
There was one big thing in the whole series that had me completely shocked, though.
Which was? What was that?
Kate Mulgrew can actually act.
Oh, who's that?
Captain Janeway.
She plays the Russian, the Russian woman.
Rhett.
Oh, yeah, from Star Trek.
Yeah. I mean, every role I've ever seen her in the past is always playing the same kind of character. She always sounds like Janeway from, you know, Voyager. But in that, she's like, oh, you can actually act.
I don't know. I've never seen her in anything else. So, but her character is amazing as well. I like her a lot.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, very, very lifelike, as far as I know. It felt lifelike.
Yeah.
Well, that was a killer, wasn't it?
Laura, where are you? Where have you gone?
We called Laura.
She's gone.
That actually kind of reminds me. It's... have you seen somebody did the lyrical version to the Game of Thrones? Basically, they invented lyrics for it. I recommend looking it up on YouTube. Game of Thrones theme tune lyrics.
Lyrics?
Yeah.
Sing them to us.
I can't because I make a point of not swearing.
Oh!
Can you replace the swear words with something else? If it says the F word, do fluff or something like that.
No, I just invite you to watch it yourselves, because it's well worth watching. It's years old, though.
What other people saying on this podcast?
It does seem to be a thing, yeah.
I'm just going to look it up now so I can watch it. What was it called?
Game of Thrones lyrics, theme tune, something along that, those lines.
Is it like, have you ever seen Tobuscus on YouTube?
Yeah.
Where he sings the, what was it? He sings the, thing. The trailers, you know, he sings what's happening on the trailers.
Oh, okay. I usually like that sort of stuff because we've been, again, this is just coming into a YouTube string of have you seen the lyrical, literal lyrics to music videos. Best one, I reckon, is Billy Joel, White Wedding. They do literal lyrics to that. That's worth looking up. Except, unfortunately, I can't view it in Sweden. It's locked to Britain or something. And
hello?
Everyone's disconnected.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I can hear you.
Except Kate and Byron have gone.
I unplugged... Sorry. I could hear you, but I had to unplug my headset and plug it back in for people to hear me. I don't know what happened. Can I say what I was trying to say before, which was... everything I've heard about Orange is the New Black is really reassuring, and I'm going to watch it as soon as possible. And I thought you were all ignoring me because I tried to say that like 15 times, and every time someone spoke over me, and I thought you were all speaking over me. And I felt really bad because I thought everyone was ignoring me, but it's fine because you can hear me now.
Apart from Byron and Kate, apparently have gone on to their own little podcast.
The podcast is splintered again. Wasn't enough that in the pilot you formed a fantasy book podcast, and yeah.
That's fine. I'm trying to re-add them to us.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah, it's coming up.
They're coming up as busy, but...
Oh, so what is happening?
Oh, this is why I hate... this is why I hate Skype for podcasting. I'm trying to get them back in. Do we have you back, Byron?
Me and Byron ran away from you all.
Okay. That's fine. Anyway, where were we in our like the recorded universe chat? Where were we? What were we talking about?
To sing the lyrics to the new Game of Thrones, apparently.
Yeah, that's what Gemma was saying. And we were talking about Orange Is the New Black.
Yes, which I did finally get to talk. I kept trying to reply to everyone, but I'm really excited and I want to watch it. There we go. I said it.
You should have meowed. It always brings you back.
I was trying. Yeah. I was trying to talk.
Wait. Before you watch it, right? Wait until season two's out.
Oh, yeah season two comes out in July or something.
Yeah, because I mean, it's a bit of a cliffhanger, and you may want to go, oh, damn it, why can't it be the next series? No, kind of thing, yeah?
That is good.
Yeah, try and avoid spoilers from the last episode, because it's a really good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the power of editing.
That's fine. We'll make this all work. It will be fine. You say the power of editing. It's me that has to do all the work at the end of this. And stay up all night tonight and all. Ah, got to type in words and do the stuff and things.
There's one more thing. We have time. I know we've been here for ages, but most of it is robot voice.
That's fine. We've got about 10 minutes left of our allocated time.
Yeah, you robot voice. About the Fantastic Four casting.
Yes, lots of people have been complaining about the race of one of the characters and have been
I've been seeing a lot of that as well, yeah.
We did an
email about it on
Yeah, PBS. I read it.
Oh, thank you. There was a hilarious gif in it, can I just say? Yeah, that was funny. Basically, they shouldn't be remaking Fantastic Four. It's a terrible movie, but Fox, I think if they don't make it by a certain time, then they lose the rights to the characters, and they have realised that comic book movies now mean money. So unfortunately, instead of getting, doing another, like, they could spend it on a decent X-Men film, but no, they're not. But basically, they've cast Kate Mara, who was in House of Cards as Sue Storm, Miles Teller, and we couldn't find anything he'd been in that we heard of, as Reed Richards, Jamie Bell, who was Billy Elliot as The Thing, which is just a bit weird, and then Michael B. Jordan from The Wire as Johnny Storm. And, like, you know, there's loads of tweets like, oh my god, political correctness is becoming more blah blah blah, Johnny Storm is white, not black, none of these actors are right, blah blah. But then I saw a gif set of somebody saying to Michael B. Jordan as he was like walking into a club or something, oh, people are pretty angry about it, what do you think? And he said, they're still going to go and watch it. And it's like, yeah, they are. They say they're purists, but they're still going to go and see it. So who cares?
The whole thing about why this film even exists is purely because Fox have this thing with Fantastic Four, and I believe it's Spider-Man they have as well, that the rights revert back to the comic creators if they don't make a film every X number of years.
Oh, wow.
That is literally how the process works, is that the licensing deal that they got into before superhero films became the huge megaton thing that they are now is that as long as they are actively making use of the property by making a film every X number of years, they get to keep a hold of the rights. And that's also why we're getting the X-Men films, the Spider-Man films, and the Fantastic Four films at the rate we are. It's purely because if they stop making any of those films, the rights revert back to the comic book creators.
To be fair, they and we can should. Get...
It's the thing that's stopping things like, say, Spider-Man being in the Avengers. Spider-Man an Avenger until Fox stopped making Spider-Man cartoons.
But that also, it stops them from making decent films, because, like, they shouldn't do it in X number of years. They should be, if you haven't made a decent film in X number of years with our characters, we get those babies back, I really don't think that X-Men films are any good, and I'm so disappointed for the next new one.
Quality is subjective, though, and blah, blah, blah.
No, they're bad. I'm right.
But you're right, but we can't objectively prove that.
Oh, I'm going to invent a test.
You didn't like X-Men First Class?
No, because I hate Michael Fassbender, and it was kind of a lot of montage, and I really like montage, but I was like, oh my god, too much montage. And then all of the others, it's like, it's not X-Men, it's Wolverine and Friends.
Well, this is why I'm optimistic for Days of Future Past.
I'm not.
That story doesn't involve too much Wolverine in the comics, and hopefully they retain some of that in the...
No, he's big and...
Have you seen the trailer? And then Rogue isn't even in it. Oh, you made me angry.
Well, it's Wolverine, but it's not Wolverine doing his general, I'm angry, I have metal claws routine.
Oh, hang on, my sister's just come in with the cat. I'm doing a podcast. I'm trying to be professional. Give me the cat. Oh my god, Sarah! She's making the cat dance on my head. Let me have a cuddle. I'm going to try and make the cat meow. Oh no,
she's...
This seems like a good note to end the podcast on.
Sorry.
Your animal torture on the show.
Now that actual cats are involved, yes.
Anyway, what is everyone up to next week or excited about next week? Tell me about your next week thoughts and things.
More coding, more game making.
I've got a fair bit of game making. I've got a international game making as well. I've got to fly back to London for a design meeting, which is going to be fun. But I'm also looking forward to, I guess another slight plug, actually. A local indie company called Nightnode. They are having a party thing, which I'm going to, which is awesome, so I get to play more of their game. It's an awesome mech-based arena combat game called Orbital Gear. Unfortunately, it's not very Googleable, but if you go for Night Node as in Nexus kind of thing, then it's well worth a look. So yeah, I'm looking forward to hanging out with them a bit.
Hooray! Byron, what are you excited about or doing next week?
I've still got to get ready for Rares, our little conference. I've got a Microsoft thing as well.
I've started making the PowerPoint the presentation thing for my talk at your thing.
Damn, you're organized.
Pardon?
I said, Tim, you're organised.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to get organised and prepare a talk in advance of, like, the day of the talk.
I usually just make things up on the day.
I've done that before, but I'm not going to do that for your thing, because you're special and you're important.
Oh, thank you.
This is how The Guardian happens.
Why don't you just marry him already?
I think Susie would be upset by that.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Anyway, Tilly, while you're getting upset, what are you excited about next week or doing the next week?
I'm starting Dungeons & Dragons on Tuesday. No excuses this week, I am starting.
Yes, there's no avatar to distract you this time.
Yeah, I was supposed to start last week, but I stayed to finish Avatar the Last Airbender.
Oh my god, Avatar.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my god.
We didn't even talk about that this week, but oh my god, Avatar.
It feels like it was weeks ago.
So. It does, but it was so good.
But yeah, I think that's pretty much the only nerdy thing I'll be doing next week is D&D and probably more Animal Crossing. But
hooray. What about you, Kate, and your cat? What will you be up to this week?
Oh my god, I actually have no idea. Yes I do. I'm going to a film screening of Nonstop on Wednesday. And which is the one with Liam Neeson in it?
Take me.
Is that the one in the plane?
Yeah, and the only reason I'm going to see it, we got a press invitation and we were like, oh, should we go? But on the poster, like on the tube and stuff, it says, they're on this plane and it says 146 passengers, 146 suspects. And Kirsty, who is our reviews editor, got really pissed off, like, 146 suspects? Does he suspect himself? So now I have to go and see it. Because I really want to know. Kirsty is on behalf of the Geek Agenda at Glasgow Film Festival this week. And I think I'm also going to a gig in Shepherd's Bush and selling merchandise for this gig. So yeah, that's my week.
I'm going to try and make the headline make sense. He might not consider himself a passenger because he's an air marshal. So he doesn't count himself in the 146 passengers.
He thinks a lot of himself, doesn't he?
Well, if he's an air marshal, he
still
might
a passenger,
not...
still bought a ticket, still had to get a ticket to
no,
get on the train.
He didn't have to buy a ticket. He's an air marshal.
He still had to have a ticket. He still counts as a passenger.
Probably not. He probably just showed his air marshal badge and was like, hey, I'm an air marshal.
No, Laura, no.
Okay. I really think you need to take something along. You can do notes, yeah?
I can do notes pretty well, don't worry.
Why
do you want to see this film?
I love Liam Neeson's films.
The only decent film he's been in, okay, two, Love Actually, and also the Narnia films. That's it.
Okay, topic for next week. Topic for next week.
No!
What film has he been in that's good? Apart from them, that I just mentioned.
It was in Star Wars films.
Star Wars?
Yeah, he was in The Phantom Menace, which actually... No, that wasn't a good one.
I was going to say...
Never mind.
Taken is really cheesy, but I quite like it.
Yeah.
No, Taken. Rubbish and
it's terrible, but I love it because of that.
Also, wasn't the character he played in Batman supposed to not be a white man?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen
Liam Neeson?
You got to see The Dark Man. Watch that.
Anyway, what am I doing this week? By the time this podcast goes up, I'll have announced two indie games that have currently not been announced, so that's exciting. I don't know what I'm doing with the rest of the week. I'm probably going to watch Orange is the New Black. I'm excited to do that. Yeah, I know. Woo! I don't know if there's anything else I'm doing this week. I will probably find something that's happened on the internet to get upset about, and I'll write an article about it and be like, people need to fix things and stuff in the industries. And that'll be my week.
Yeah, it sounds like a good week.
And as soon as this podcast is over, I'm going to listen to two separate, very young children doing their voice castings for the small girl in my demo of my game. So that'll be fun.
What's the small girl's character's name? Is it Small Girl?
No, her name is Lyra.
Call her Small... What, like in them books that were published? Yeah, that's what I meant.
As in that same name, but that was not the reason for the name, but yes.
I was going to make a pun on the joke. I was going to make a really terrible pun about the name of your game then, but I wasn't quick enough. Sorry.
After all, you are the reason. Yes.
Thank you. You did it.
Yeah.
We tried.
That's my favorite book, and I didn't get that.
That's fine. Let's move on, and we'll do a different. We'll talk next week. Bye, everyone. Bye.
Bye.